ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of different things. We got some college football playoff expansion talk. Been tabled. Why? What needs to change? What has to happen? Who's the problem in getting that thing extended out to either 8 or 12 teams? Also, the NIL, is there a way to fix it? Different ideas. I know Jared's got some and heard a few from around with the portal and the NIL and all that. How do we fix that? Is there something to fix, or is it just going to be one of those things that kind of goes away as we move along? And it's a little bit more of a hot-button issue than what it really ought to be. Who knows? We'll talk about that, kind of hash that out. NFL playoffs. We'll go with the AFC today. Three AFC games. What has to happen in each of them for maybe an upset? What do we foresee happening? I saw a stat on Joe Burrow in basically do-or-die games, win-or-go-home games, dating all the way back to his college years. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm trying to find it. I remember one part of it. His touchdown to interception ratio was fair, if you want to call it fair. So we'll get into the NFL playoffs on the AFC side today. And then yesterday, OSSAA board meeting. And there was a couple of questions asked that are pretty interesting to delve into, I think. One of which has been a conversation for years on the basketball floor in Oklahoma high school basketball. The other became a thing last year. So we'll talk about those. See what you guys think. What are your ideas? What did you like? What did you not like? And that sort of thing coming up here right off the top of the show. 225-9698 is the phone to the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. 98. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app has everything. It's got radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Everything you need. Everything we have to offer right there at your fingertips in the Paragon Communications app. Also, Skinny on Sports Podcast. You can get that on iTunes and KADSAM.com. Go the iTunes route. You can subscribe to the podcast, and you will be alerted each and every day when a new one drops. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know me. I hate not having a plan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I have no idea what I'm doing tomorrow as far as basketball.
I was thinking about that, too. Like, all right.
It irks me. But I know it's out of control of some people, and then they got to wait till 0 hour. I totally get that. It's just I'm getting antsy.
Yeah, do you go through the process of tracking down rosters, trying to get Wi-Fi info, passwords, and all that just for naught?
Exactly, yeah. I've gone ahead and done that as far as prepping for a game, and then I'm told if that game doesn't happen,
might
can
have
you
another
cover
one.
Another game because one of our broadcasters is out. So I've already prepped for like two different scenarios.
Right.
So it's kept me busy a little bit. I'm all caught up. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't like not knowing where I'm going when I wake up tomorrow.
Yeah, I was thinking about that driving in. Like, oh man, I need to get all that stuff done, or do I? I mean, you got to have it because if you don't want to get caught with your pants down,
yeah. Yeah, you don't want to assume nothing's happened, and then something happens. You want it, so I'm ready for either scenario.
Yeah, you know, I had to go back and make sure because I wasn't on the schedule to make sure I was getting the rosters of the right team because I knew that Elk City had Elgin and Cash back to back, but I couldn't remember which one's first. It's actually Elgin first.
Oh, it's Elgin first.
It's actually Elgin this Friday.
Well, and then I need to correct my news story because okay. I said Cash.
I was really kind of bummed out when you did say Cash because I was in my mind thinking, okay, that game's not going to happen. Darn, but then I have to go to Elgin. Mm. Now, you never know. Maybe I can get out of the Elgin trip and just go to Cash instead on Tuesday. Who knows? It's still up in the air, but as of right now, everything looks like it's a go.
Yeah, so. We can't say this, that you're right. Everything is a go, and if anything changes, just tune into your sports report. I mean, you'll have all the updates. I've
hopefully
reached out to all of our broadcasters and said, as far as the Paragon schools are concerned, said, listen, if something changes, please let us know so we can get that out there.
Yeah, let us know.
So we're trying our best, but right now, everything we've been told is a go.
That is correct. Okay, so last night I experienced a food journey that I'd never experienced before.
Really?
Yes.
That could be good or bad.
A method of cooking that I've never done before.
You're an experienced cook, so this shocks me. A method of cooking you have never done before.
That's right. Never eaten anything this way. Nothing. You know what it was?
I can only imagine. What is it?
The air fryer.
Oh, you've never air fried anything?
I've never eaten anything that was air fried. This is a new experience for me completely last night.
I love the air fryer.
The air fryer.
What did you fry?
Chicken.
Like breaded chicken or just?
We lightly breaded chicken thighs and fired it in the air fryer.
And? A little dry or
no. You know, it tells you the one we have, you can hit this little button and it goes and it's got this chicken leg there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just press that and turn out 20 minutes at 360 is what it was.
Okay.
And the darndest thing to me was you didn't need, it wasn't like an oven that you preheat.
No, you just
fire it in there. Boom. I'm like, golly, this is amazing.
Is yours one that says turn your food? Turn it, time to turn it. We have one. We have ours. It tells us like halfway through. It says
when to turn it.
Says turn your food.
No, that didn't happen. But the book told you to.
Okay.
And that could have been the problem with what I'm about to say.
Ah.
So we did it for the 20 minutes. The first batch came out totally juicy. But I'm wondering, and here's the deal. I soaked the chicken in cold water.
Okay.
Which starts to take some of the blood out mm-hmm, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It temped to done.
I'll say that again.
It temperatured with our thermometer. It temped to done, a done temperature.
Gotcha.
But when you broke into it and got closer to the bone, it was a little bit scary.
Hmm. Not what you want in your chicken.
No. Now the juices felt like they ran clear, right? But as you got closer, and so I'm wondering. We did two batches because we had so much laid out. And then the second batch, I just turned it back on at the same temp and let it go another 5 minutes.
Okay.
At 360.
I just sent you something.
Okay.
You'll enjoy this. It's on topic with what we're talking about.
Okay. And so I the second batch, it was definitely done, but it was too, like 5 minutes was too much extra.
Well, like anything in cooking. It's
but
just,
man, that it was crispy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was easy. And the cleanup, oh, my Lord. I mean, because one of the main problems with, say, frying chicken or chicken fried steak, it's kind of messy, right?
Yeah.
And of course,
And then, you know, you're frying chicken in the house, it kind of leaves a smell.
It does.
And, you know, not a bad, to me, not a bad smell, but... anyways, yeah.
Yeah, so the question on, so you had 165 degree pink / red chicken. I think it was like actually 168. Now, I mean, it wasn't away from that bone. And so then I'm wondering, okay, do we need to just buy, if we're going to use this thing all the time, do we need to just have like boneless chicken thighs and not have to worry about
mm-hmm,
that?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can tell when chicken's not, I mean, you look at it or the texture was exactly how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't quite there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was just a little funky. And so.
It's handy for us with our kids because we just throw in the chicken nuggets or the corn dogs or whatnot and just set it, forget it until it beeps at you. And so it's real handy. And you can talk about the cleanup. Yeah, a little crummy, but it doesn't leave a smell. That's real handy. I've done some stuff. What have I done in there? I've done some wings. dry wings and then tossed them myself, and that tastes really good.
Just a second.
What are you looking at?
I'm.
You getting tips from everybody?
No.
You see that what I sent you was like an air fry, what is that? Not recipe, but directions, I guess, for each type of food, temperature and time.
See, that's there was a little book there.
Yeah.
And actually the chicken leg deal, I mean, the you know what I mean, like the deal?
Yeah.
It went longer than it told us to in the book, but we never turned it. I did not turn it at all. So I'm really interested to see, you know, like I said, the extra 5 was too much.
Here's the deal that stood out to me, what you just said about your air fryer, and I don't know what kind of air fryer you're having.
It was one that was given to us because the people that gave it to us got a new one.
Okay. You might check into this. Ours, I'll tell you, it's not just as simple as turn on and throw it in. We have to turn it on. It has to warm up, kind of like an oven, but it doesn't take as long as an oven. And then it'll beep out and say, put your food in.
Well, this did that.
Okay.
I mean,
food right in, and then it's beeping. I was like, that was quick. And then I'm reading on the label thing. It says, put food in. I'm like, oh, I went too early.
Okay, so the basket thing has to be in there for it to even turn on, right?
Okay.
Ours.
Ours is like an oven. It's like a mini oven. It's like a basket.
No, I mean, there's a basket that goes in there.
Yeah. I know there's different types of air fryers. This is our second one.
I'm intrigued.
It is, yeah. It's kind of like anything, like smoking meat or anything in the oven. It's just, you got to do it a few times.
Yeah, because the second, like I said, I turned it back on to the same temp and let the second batch go. I think if I'd have just done it like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It would, because I'm telling you, when we pulled that first batch out, and it ate it until we got to the middle, like where the bone was. It was so juicy and crunchy. The skin was crisp. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh. And it wasn't greasy, obviously, because you're not putting in grease. I'm thinking, this is the greatest invention of all time. And then I was like, ooh, should we be eating these? Should we be eating that? But I mean, it did tempt to it tempt to safe. And so I think I may have overdone it the second time. That took some juice out of it.
Yeah.
So there's a happy medium in there that we got to figure out. But man alive, it was. When I cut into that first piece, I thought, where has this been all my life? I mean, it was like you the skin was crisp, and like juice would shoot out the little hole that you
put. Oh, yeah.
But I was like, oh, my gosh. Hey, by the way, we are going to have a guest tomorrow.
Yes.
It was going to have to be next week because of some stuff, but now his schedule has been moved back around.
Great.
And so tomorrow, 9:30, we will have the newly hired head coach of Elk City Football, Zach Maynard, will be in the house tomorrow, 9:30.
Awesome.
So we'll introduce Coach Maynard to everybody out there. He was just named the head coach of the Big Elks officially Monday night, and so he's going to come down, and we'll have a lot of fun introducing him to everybody tomorrow at 9:30.
Great.
Yeah, so the air fryer. This is going to be an adventure. I mean, there's a basket for like vegetables and stuff.
Vegetables, yes. What have I done? I've done a lot in there. I had to kind of trim down what my favorite stuff is. It has to be, you know me, I'm a wing guy. I like bone in buffalo.
So let me ask you this. How many can you do at a time? Like how big is your deal?
Oh, it's I can do. I get there's two racks. It's like think of an oven style.
Okay, so you've got
two racks. So in theory, I could do 2 dozen. I mean, I could put a dozen on top of each rack.
See, there's not really a rack. This has a basket
like you would dump down into the deep fryer.
And I was quizzing Will. I mean, can I? You know, because in a deep fryer, you could fill the basket, and when you put it down, they're not touching each other, right? Because it's in the grease, and they're kind of floating around,
right?
But I was afraid if you put these on top, like pieces on top of each other, then that would defeat the purpose and you'd end up with soggy crust on, you know, where the two pieces were touching. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, we could do 4 thighs at a time.
Yeah, ours is a little bigger. And again, it's our second one.
I mean, it's really deep.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's like extra deep.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Maybe some other stuff you could really pour in there.
Welcome to the air fryer club.
I'm way late to the party, right? Everybody knows about this.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't dived into this.
Nope, I haven't. But now
use
I'm
that
there.
Chart. Look, refer to that chart, and you'll be surprised. And you're gonna find tons of recipes. Just you think of a meal, then type in air fryer, and you'll find a recipe for it. You can do a lot of different stuff. Oh, I remember one time we had some kind of battered broccoli. I don't remember what my wife battered it with.
Yeah.
Put it in the air fryer for a little bit. Came out a little crunchy. A little bit of ranch. Oh, my goodness. It was good. I'll have to get that recipe for you. You'll enjoy
Sounds
that.
Delicious.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, you'll get hooked.
I'm in the air fryer world all of a sudden.
Get your recipes ready for the Super Bowl.
I mean, here we go. man, yesterday there was the OSSAA had their board meeting, monthly board meeting. There was a bunch of different things discussed, and I was kind of reading about it and what some questions that were answered. And a couple of pretty hot-button topics were discussed. One, a shot clock in high school basketball. And number two, the state tournament and how it's going to look. You know, last year, due to COVID, it was spread out over 5 days to get everybody in the big house in one central, and you know, in one location,
right?
To not have to, you know, everybody thought, or the OSSA thought, and I think they were right in this assumption, that was the best way to keep everybody as safe as possible. You know what I mean? Just have one sterile location, and you can control it and move on down life's path.
And so, the other fact was that the sub sites or the first round sites.
Yeah, some of them didn't want to do it.
They didn't want to do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Straight up said they didn't want to do it.
And so yeah. It all made sense.
It was forced upon the OSSA in a way.
And they made it.
We got to make this happen.
They made it happen.
Yeah.
And by the way, David Glover wanted to do it for years, and this gave him the option to do it. And so let's start there since, you know, that's one that's coming up here pretty quick. And it could affect the end of the season, whereas the shot clock's not going to be implemented right now. Even if people wanted it. I know you are a little bit more against this than I am, just from the standpoint of
travel
and, you know, maybe a little bit out of tradition. It's a longer time span, so obviously there's more days that are affected. And so just kind of give your thoughts on
it. Well, I mean, I know not everybody does what we do as far as being involved every day with the state tournament at the small school level with our broadcasting. Because if history has shown us anything, we typically have a lot of good representation of schools from Western Oklahoma over there. I enjoyed the Thursday, Friday, Saturday aspect of it because I'd go there Thursday, wouldn't come home till Saturday after the last game. Last year, it was a week long. We still have a job outside of what we do with that. So there's a lot of travel involved. So that – And I know not everybody, you know, some people enjoy, I think, doing what I just said, not as for a job, it's to go, like, you know, they plan their vacation days around this. Go, okay, I'm going to take off that Thursday, Friday. I'm going to go and watch all these games that I can. You can't really do that if it's spread out between Tuesday through Saturday. It's hard for people to take off on a Tuesday for a 9:30 game. So I guess I'm being Debbie Downer here, but I love the idea of getting everybody in one building, especially the big house. And we mentioned it. And I also love the idea because I think I did the timing right. I think it's the spring of 2025, might be 26, is when the new arena will be projected up and ready to go. So if they could figure out how to have a week-long state tournament and to get all those teams into this new arena without any hiccups so you can iron this out while the old building is still up, I get it, and I think that's great. You don't want to rob anybody the opportunity to play in that venue. So I get the pros and cons of it. I think the pros, when I selfishly take my annoyance out of it, you know, of the driving back and forth, I think the pros outweigh the cons. So I'm okay with it in the long run. I'm absolutely okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not tradition, obviously, for the Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. It has become a staple. And listen, Mr. Nutley's one of them. You know, we pass those guys, the same guys on the same row right behind us every single year that can tell you. There's no telling what they can't tell you.
yeah,
as far as recent events. But by golly, they could tell you everything that's happened in that building for 50 years.
Yes.
You know, and recall names. It's just it's amazing to talk to some of the handful of guys that are right behind the press row,
yeah,
that are there every single year. And you're exactly right. For the small school, A and B especially, you know, every year we get Vanche on there with us to talk about what's going on. And he always says, listen, this was our vacation. When I was a kid, and when he was a kid,
mm-hmm,
vacation was going to Oklahoma City for the Class A and B state tournament.
Absolutely.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That was literally a family vacation. And then he's not the only one that's like that. It's like a trek to the mecca of high school basketball there,
yeah,
for those smaller schools, especially in Class A and B. The one problem is it is that mecca, but not everybody gets to play inside that arena.
Right.
Which was taken care of last year. I think, you know, I totally understand, you know, the cost goes up for schools. You know, when you think about, like last year, we were looking at how that went. So it started out on Tuesday, all of Class B girls played, and then half of the Class B boys played. Then the rest of the boys, Class B, and all of Class A girls, you know, and so on and so forth till it got back to normal on Friday.
Right.
And that's that's a lot of cost and travel and everything extra for some of those schools.
Yeah.
You know, that if they want to stay up there. Now, listen, I get that it's a long drive, and this probably doesn't affect who starts as much as who's kind of the last to go. Like last year it was Class A boys, so they went boom, boom. But theirs was normal then, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so maybe it wasn't them. But if you're the Class B girls side, you played first on Tuesday, you weren't going to play again until Friday. So you didn't have to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
there's ways around it. If it means as much as everybody says it does, that you talk to about this, it's involved to get their kids to play in the big house. Because before last year, the only complaint you'd hear about that weekend is, darn, we had to play at Mustang,
yeah,
on Thursday. And so you had to three out of the four tournaments, you had to win a game to get to play in the big house. Mm-hmm. That was alleviated. Now, as far as, I mean, there's ways. I mean, we just talked about it. Instead of, you know, it would be a long 4 days, but if you didn't like that fifth day, if you wanted to squeeze it into four, it's easy. You'd have all of Class B on Wednesday, all of Class A on Thursday for the first round games. Then you get to Friday and it's normal. But that's 8 games a day.
Yeah.
And that's 9:15 start time in the morning to 9:15 start time in the evening for the last game. 3 straight days. And then Saturday would feel like a breeze with only the four title games, you know.
Right.
But that's a possibility.
You mentioned,
if you wanted to, right, to shrink that time.
You also mentioned one of the pros to this is the officials.
Officials. That's what David Glover mentioned. With having a 5-day tournament, you could get a lot of that field kind of trimmed out on Thursday or on Tuesday and Wednesday when areas weren't going on for the larger schools and that sort,
yeah,
of thing. And it's all in one location. You're not spread out all over the metro for four different tournaments. It's all there. Yeah, that I think that's another one that makes a lot of sense to lengthen that. And quite frankly, I think the allure of playing everybody guaranteed to play in that building with the history of it, I think, or at least for me anyway, the other stuff that's a little bit bothersome is less down the list to me than being in there all the days. If that,
yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, it's like,
sense.
I said, you know, the pros are outweighing the cons.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of, there's no doubt, there's some cost involved and it's a pain a little bit. But I think at the end of the day, to guarantee
but at the
team
end of the day,
to play
it's about
there,
those kids playing in that building. To me, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no doubt.
When they can walk away and go, yeah, we got the state and I got to play in the big house. And especially as the old, its days are about to be numbered.
That's,
you want to be in that, you want to say, I played in the old big, the original big house.
100%. I think it,
no honest, knock on the new thing that's coming. That thing looks fantastic. I
right,
can't wait to get it. But there's going to be a time where, you know, it's going to be, you know, the history in that building right now is awesome. And I mean, think about it. If you can say I was the last team to play in that building.
Yeah,
I was
somebody
one of the last teams.
Somebody is going to hoist the last gold ball in that building here in the near future.
We turn the lights out.
That's right.
In the old building.
And there will be shirts made of that, I promise
you.
Some small town
it'll
in Oklahoma.
It'll be a trivia question.
Yeah.
You know, who was the last team to...
Unfortunately, it won't be the A and B. It'll be because the next week is when it'll really get done.
That's
but
true.
Yeah, there's no doubt there will be a shirt made of that.
Yeah.
I've already got a template in my mind. So let's see. If you said 26, so I'm thinking
I'm gonna have to effort that. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Get Curry out there on the basketball floor, J Mac. He might be one of the guys that could do that. the shot clock. It's been a hot button topic in high school basketball for years. It really comes up in the playoffs, and honestly, when more people pay attention, media wise. Which happens in the state tournaments, and it's like they've never seen a high school basketball game or hadn't seen one in a year.
Yes.
When it gets down to a close game at the end and a team runs a minute and a half off the clock and the howling begins. Oh, my gosh, this is terrible. Whatever. Here's the deal. You can find a bunch of people that want it, and you can also find a bunch of people that don't. And according to David Jackson, the executive director of the OSSA, they sent out the questionnaires to their member schools. And he said it was overwhelmingly negative as far as implementing a shot clock. Now, you made a good point, and you can go ahead and tell everybody about it.
Well,
depends
on
who filled that out.
Yeah, did it get past the, no offense to superintendents, but did it get past their desk?
Yeah, or athletic directors.
Or athletic directors, you know, because what they're thinking is, we got to pay for the implementation of this. Not every school can afford to do that. Not, you know, and then we got to pay somebody to run that shot clock and only that shot clock. Right, I'm assuming that's the way it'd have to be done. You can't have the same scoreboard operator running the clock and the shot clock.
No, it's just like the play clock and the regular clock in football.
So you have the one person. So there's a cost.
And oh, by the way, as we've seen over the last week and a half, it's hard enough to find somebody to run the regular clock, much less adding another clock in there as well.
Okay. Here it is Thursday, and you brought it up. I was told don't bring it up. So, but you're right.
We've all seen it, though. Not just that
it's
example.
Hard. It's
we
hard.
We see it. I mean, you and I are out doing games all the time, right? You see it every single night.
There's human error.
Of course there is.
Human error.
And now you add another thing to that throughout the game.
My point is, it's the cost. And in today's economy, which, by the way, is actually looking good. I got sales tax numbers yesterday. But in today's economy, that's the first that's the number one job of a superintendent and athletic director is the cost. How do I save money here? How do I get enough kids onto a bus to save gas money to go to point A from point B to point B and all that stuff? So my question is, did that questionnaire get to the coaches? Because the coaches, I think, want it.
I think some do.
And I think
the coaches of the better teams do.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the coaches of the worst teams don't. Because I think there's a huge fear, and rightfully so, that the beatings we see on a night-to-night basis in high school basketball only get worse if you force a team to shoot. I mean, there's a lot of times where there is such a mismatch that the only chance Team A has to even keep it respectable against Team B is holding on to the basketball. You know,
right.
if they can run a minute and a half off the clock without letting the other team have it. Now, sometimes that can't happen. It's stolen away, and they don't even have it for 35. But, you know, I wish there was a way, and there's not because this doesn't make any sense to do it this way, but I wish there was a way to, like, have it in the playoffs and not in the regular season. Does that make sense?
Totally. I mean, we've seen on the college level where the early season tournaments – I mean, when they were messing with the three-point lines, like, okay, in this tournament, we're going to have it pushed back to this length, and we're going to see if it works. If it doesn't, we'll, you know, and it's like a study. So I can totally see that. I can, you know. Then I thought, is there a bridge here? Is there a gap, or, you know, to bridge that gap, is there a way for the officials to keep some kind of account and still players would know, you know, the officials yelling, you got 10 seconds to shoot. You got, you know, I don't know. I'm just spitballing ideas out there, you know, but I like that though. You get to the big house, to these, you know, later postseason tournaments, you know. But that totally changes the way you coach, right? All season long, you're coaching one way, then all of a sudden playoffs hit and we've got to deal with the play clock. You'd prefer that thing to be there all season.
Yeah, I mean, at a minimum, you'd think you'd have to implement it during the regular season tournaments just to get not only the players and coaches acclimated to it, but the officials and also the people running the clock.
Exactly.
You've got to, they can't just step in a district game and go, okay, here you go. What are the rules? Well, you know, and so I think the cost of implementing it is a factor. I think the competitive disadvantages it creates for really good versus really bad is there as well. But I also think, you know, schools, some pay, some don't, to have people running these clocks. And I think that you're just adding another element of human error, and you're also adding in that error in the games that matter the most. And from a former AD, expensive changing clocks is big. That expense is big. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, it is. It's a cost.
And so I think that's where when you hear Mr. Jackson talking about, oh, yeah, it was overwhelmingly negative, you have to wonder to yourself, okay, who filled out that survey? I think you make a great point. Did it get to the coach's desk, or did it stay, you know, administration that is looking at cost and cost first, which is what has to happen. It's not going to happen if all the schools can't afford it anyhow.
And you made a good point too. Did it get to every member school's desk, or did it? You know what I mean? Or not that? No. When the reporter said,
he's talking to.
He said, well, everyone I've talked to said they want it. Well, did you talk to everybody in the state?
Maybe another situation
there. Or everybody
there
in Oklahoma County.
Yeah.
Who'd you talk to? Hey, by the way, before we go to the break, the new arena construction will begin in September. And they're saying it should be completed in the fall of 2024. So that would mean spring of
2025. Spring of 2025, yeah.
Is when the first state tournaments will take place in the Oklahoma City Fairgrounds Coliseum.
Oh, man.
Will it be still called the Big House? Does it have the right to be called the Big House?
They always show those computer renderings every year we're there. Is it maybe the new Big House or something like that? That doesn't sound cool.
Let the Big House stay with the Big House. I don't know. That's a topic. Well,
you almost hate to see it go away, but
yeah,
the new thing's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what we never did?
What?
We never did give the final Western Oklahoma Realty Bowl Mania leaderboard.
Well, I thought we did when you.
I mean, no.
Said it's you and everybody else.
Yeah, we really didn't look at it.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I won.
Yes, we know that.
I won by four.
Everybody knows.
I won by four games. But don't listen. Great picks. Second place was 8 over .500. That's really good picking. So you think about that, 2,300, 1,500, so 800 minus 150. So they'd have made $650, Dylan, Doc, Brian, if they would have bet $100 on every game for the bowl season. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good return.
I was all over the place.
How about Atha? Where are you at? There you are. Dead even.
Yep.
After missing the first five, you came back to dead even at 19-19.
Thanks.
Possum 2 over .500. So he'd have made $20. Because he'd have won 2,000, he'd have lost 1,800, and then he'd had to pay $180 in juice.
So you're saying I'm Jerry Seinfeld?
You'd have lost $190.
Oh, I wouldn't have broke even?
Nope.
Okay.
Because you owe that 10%.
Oh, yeah. House always wins, man.
So you'd have lost $190. I would have won 27, 11, 16, minus 110, 1490. That'd have been nice. Merry Christmas. Anyway, thank you to Tyler. Oh, hang on. I just noticed a name. No wonder he is getting so much grief on our group text. J-Mac, he might have had to sell his truck. Pay off the gambling bill. 16 and 22, 6 under. Yeesh. But as he said, I can't win every year because I guess he won last year. Anyhow, thanks to all that played. Thanks to we'll have more contests throughout the year. Probably what's next on the sports calendar? March Madness brackets.
March Madness and then Masters.
Oh, yeah. We'll have the majors for sure.
Speaking of which, you see that Netflix is looking at doing a docu-series of every major?
I saw that they're going to have some kind of PGA deal because a big old list of names of golfers that have decided to golfers and entities that had decided to commit to it, and Augusta National was one of them.
That'd be cool. Do you think you get a little behind the scenes?
Man, there's no telling. I'm all in. Whatever they'll give us, I will watch. From the Masters, from Augusta National, whatever it is.
So final thought, and then we'll move on, but final thought about this new arena. I'm looking at the site plan, and it's going to be built where the original arena is right now.
I thought they said they had to tear it down and clear it off.
So the big question is, will there be a season or a spring?
100%. Probably be two of them.
They're going to have to find – there will be no Big House. So that that little conversation we had about turning the lights off might be coming sooner than we think.
Might be this year. Next.
That's scary.
This year or next?
That kind of made me sad. Wow. But this arena looks cool. Just looking at all the pictures and the renderings and where it's going to be and all this stuff. It's going to be neat. It's going to be really good.
This may be it.
But this could be it. This might be
need to get somebody on
another motivating reason why they want to have another week-long event.
Give everybody one last chance.
One last chance.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. Start with the AFC side today, and we'll do the NFC tomorrow. It's kind of a tease to make Cowboys fans have to listen to us tomorrow.
Well, the Cowboys have been teasing us for so long.
Yeah.
So.
Anyhow, AFC games. Let's go by seeds. Start with the best seed, which is Kansas City, the 2 against Pittsburgh, the 7. What would have to happen for Pittsburgh to even make this thing interesting inside Arrowhead?
Keep it close. It's going to have to be with Pittsburgh's defense. We're not sure about that offense, right? That they can score enough with
the Chiefs. Pretty sure they can't.
No. But if the Pittsburgh defense can just keep it close going into the fourth quarter, I keep riding this phrase of giving Big Ben a chance. You give him a chance in the fourth quarter. I mean, I always lean towards the veteran in that situation. But that's what would keep it interesting and intriguing for me. This one of all of the games looks like it could be the bigger blowouts of them all. But every time we say that, the defense of the underdog steps up and gives their offense a chance. Just keep it close in the fourth. If they can get to the fourth quarter down a score, maybe down 10, I mean, that's intriguing to me.
Just a couple weeks ago, Kansas City beat him 36-10 right there inside Arrowhead Stadium. So that probably doesn't give you much hope if you're Possum and the Steeler fans. I couldn't agree more.
You know, Alabama beat Georgia, and then it's a different animal, I know.
Yeah.
The point is, quick turnaround.
I think Pittsburgh would have to run the football and shorten this game up to what? I mean, less than 10 possessions apiece for sure.
Ball control.
Yeah, if you're thinking like maybe eight chances at the ball, seven chances when you're running it and, you know, having 6 or 7 minute drives. You know, I think if Mahomes touches the ball, probably 8+ possessions. That makes it really hard for Pittsburgh unless they can create. I mean, obviously, I think they're going to have to create turnovers. Not necessarily to keep Kansas City from scoring, but maybe to create a short field or two for their offense. You know, it's hard to imagine Pittsburgh winning this game if it takes, 24 to win it? Does that make sense? Do we think they can get that? Maybe 3 touch, maybe 20, a couple field goals and a couple touchdowns, maybe. I just don't – it just doesn't seem like with the offense we've seen out of the Steelers, even in wins down the stretch. I mean, let's look back. All right, the Bengals scored 10. Then they got 20 against the Ravens. Then they got 28 against the Vikes. 19, 10, 14, 13. You know, I mean, it's it seems like a long odds. I mean, even Big Ben was joking about that yesterday, saying, well, we don't have a chance, so let's just go have fun. It's all well and good to say, but a lot of it is probably, unfortunately, kind of the truth for him. Now, like you said, though, if they can keep it close and he has kind of that one last shot to drive down and either take it to overtime or maybe even win a game or something, at that point it gets super interesting because he's shown he can do that. still in some of these games lately.
Yes.
But it's just, it's good as Pittsburgh's defense has been, and it has been fantastic, pass rush and all. I think that, you know, a minimum of probably what, plus two in the turnovers, maybe a big special teams play. It, depending on where those turnovers happen, you would hope they would happen on the Kansas City side. That way it creates a short field where at the minimum you score, what, 10 points off of two, off of a plus two, you know, advantage. And then we'll see.
Make those turnovers into points.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Let's say you don't turn it over. You get two from Kansas City. I think you've got to end up with 10 points off of those two turnovers just because of the lack of offense we've seen out of the Steelers down the stretch. And Najee Harris would have to rush for at least 100 to keep the ball away from Mahomes. I'm like you. I think this one has, of all the games, this one seems like it may have the chance to get out of hand the most just because Pittsburgh's lack of offense. But that defense has shown they can keep them in games against about everybody except for Kansas City down the stretch. Bills, Pats, round three. What do we make of this? You know, the first game between these two was supposed to be the Bills, you know, taking control of the division, and instead the wind blew 100. You know, that was the game where New England only threw it three times because of the conditions. And you know, that totally affected the outcome of that game. There's no way that to believe it didn't. And then on the nicer day in New England, Buffalo was able to put it to the Pats pretty good just a couple of weeks ago at 33-21. So what do we believe from those two regular season matchups, or will this would just be totally different because that's the way Belichick is?
I almost lean not to pick the Patriots, but it to be a closer to what game than what some people think. Bills Mafia, it always feels like when they get in that first round, they struggle. And I don't know what it is about Buffalo. It's been a curse with them since the 90s, whether it be in Super Bowls or first round games. So, and then it's Belichick. It's just Belichick. But I'd lean towards the Bills because of more experience at quarterback play. But I think it'll be closer. Don't you? I mean, I don't know what the weather's going to be like.
Yeah, that's...
It's going to be cold. We know that.
Well, thinking about what's coming through here, it won't get there yet on Saturday. I mean, you know, with the chance of cold and a little snow on the eastern side of this state. I just this seems like an obvious Bills win to me.
Right, in a weird
because
way,
of the quarterback. The quarterback discrepancy between Josh Allen and Mac Jones, it feels like the Bills have such an advantage there, but... Does Belichick, is he able, with the masterminding of a defensive game plan, able to kind of shrink that advantage down enough for Mac Jones? See, to me, Jones has been he's been efficient, but I don't know that there's very many games you can go back and look at and say, well, yeah, Mac Jones threw us to the win. He's going to have to make plays, not just manage the game, I think, this week.
Difference between playoff quarterbacks and game managers. You have to win the game. You have to take it. If you're a quarterback in the playoffs,
and if the quarterbacks were reversed on it, because I think the Bills are the better team, right? They could get by with the game manager versus the better quarterback on the other side. But when you've got both things in the advantage of the Bills, the better quarterback and the better team, then that means to me, Mac Jones can't just be the game manager guy. He's going to have to let it loose, and can he do that? It's something he hasn't necessarily shown. I mean, he's made throws that were great. There's no doubt about that throughout different games and throughout the season. But has he been able to just let it loose, cut it loose, and be the reason that the Patriots won a game instead of just kind of helping out? And in this game, I think he's going to have to be the reason. Like, if the Patriots win, I think we're going to go out and say, man, Belichick did a good job against Josh Allen, and Mac Jones wasn't just a game manager. He actually went out and made throws that made a difference in a game. I don't think he could do it.
I don't think so either.
Then we get to the Raiders. Go ahead.
Last thought about that game, for some reason, that game is the less intriguing game for me out of all the games this weekend. Don't know why. I mean, some would say, the Chiefs-Steelers. Well, the whole Big Ben in the playoff thing is intriguing for me, even though it is, on paper, they're a heavy underdog. It could be a big blowout of all these games. Something about the Bills-Patriots, I just see the Bills winning. Let's move on. I'm sure we'll make picks tomorrow. but it's just not intriguing to me. It doesn't get me excited like the rest of these games do.
All right, Las Vegas is at Cincinnati. First game on Saturday, 3:30 in the afternoon, to kick off the 3-day wild card weekend. I was trying to effort. I'd seen the stat, and I remember the part of it that was touchdown interception. So Joe Burrow, not just in the NFL, but back to his college days as well, has played, I think it was 6 win or go home games, do or die games in his career, in college and in the NFL. He's played 6 of them. He is 6-0. He has thrown, I can't remember his completion percentage or his yards per game was way over 300. But his touchdown to interception ratio, you want to just take a guess in 6 games?
No, go. I don't know.
27-0.
Wow.
27 touchdowns and nary an interception in what are considered win or go home games in his career dating back to college. That is unbelievable.
That's efficient. That's we talk about quarterbacks that go and take the win. They go and they take over. That's definition right there. That's it. Now this is out of all those 6 games, this is the biggest, right? Oh well, national title game, maybe.
It'll be his first playoff game in the NFL, obviously. I wonder how many, let's see, what did he racked up a bunch of those against Tebow.
Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you mean Yulshu.
I thought I was going to get by you there for just a second. But
I almost repeated it word for word, but I didn't. I can't get away with that.
Anyway.
Against Riley, yeah.
Yeah, it's against OU in that semifinal and just a half. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see because he has the pedigree and he has the results in his favor that show the bigger the stage, the better he performs. But I have a sneaking suspicion that Derek Carr does too.
Mm-hmm.
He's played, 8 years for the Raiders? He missed the last playoff game that he led his team to because of a broken ankle. And so this is going to be his first playoff game as well, even though he's a lot more seasoned and been in the league a lot longer. And it just feels like they take that team takes its cue from their leader, and he doesn't back down, and he doesn't quit. And I don't know why, what's going on with his eyes, why they look so crazy, if it's just his contacts or if that's just the way he was made. But for some reason, it's like – the defenders look in his eyes and they melt. And he's able to make plays and will his team to win.
It's the hair.
There's a lot going on there for him with his appearance. But for me, that's the best game on Saturday. Like you said, there's just 2. And we kind of feel like the Bills will beat the Patriots. But I can't wait for that one. You know, normally the way that they schedule these things, the least interesting game comes first. Just because of ratings, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. smaller markets and all that kind of stuff. But I think that they've kind of maybe underappreciated what this game's going to bring. Because there's as much as Joe Burrow has proven it outside of the NFL playoffs in games like this, and Carr down the stretch, it feels like he's played about 5 playoff games in a row already just to get there. We still don't know what's going to happen because we see this all the time in the playoffs where these young or even veteran quarterbacks that have never been there, crazy things happen, either good or sometimes it's not very good. So either way, I think it's going to be a fun game. I don't think one of them's going to struggle and the other one's going to play great. You know what I mean? I think they'll both kind of be meh or they'll both be awesome and it'll just be a great game either way. More fun to watch if they were really good, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a soul in the Raiders like you are. I go back to it being at Cincinnati and that whole playoff atmosphere that they're going to bring and wanting to just squash the playoff woes that they've had in years past. Now they're back, brand new regime, brand new players. I just feel like they're going to be amped up, ready to go. The Joe Burrow thing, that stat just stands out to me. And the Raiders, coming in, interim head coach, they've won games they shouldn't have won. They've lost games they shouldn't have lost. I lean towards the Bengals. I'm not as high on the Raiders like you are.
Seeing if I could find that in this story. Bengals trying to win their first playoff game, since 1991, I think.
It's been a bit.
That's a lot of... It's a lot of bad mojo to get off of you.
Yep. But the thing is, a lot of these players, were they even alive?
Not
they
very
don't
many
care. They don't know. They want to be the one who breaks that.
Yeah, they were all probably alive. Don't forget, tomorrow, 9:30, Big Elk, newly hired Big Elk head coach Zach Maynard, going to join us, introduce him to all the listeners here in Western Oklahoma, and tell you his story and kind of his vision for what Big Elk football will be moving forward. It's 9:30 tomorrow. Big Elk head coach Zach Maynard will be in the house to talk with us on a Friday. All right, let's make the picks. We don't have time to talk about the college stuff. So let's pick these AFC games. Then we'll do the NFC tomorrow, talk to Coach Maynard, and have kind of a fun Friday.
Cool. Just AFC.
Just AFC. Let's start with Kansas City.
Well, listen, I like the story of Big Ben and going out in a blaze of glory. Can he pull off an upset? That'd be awesome. I mean, come on. We're story guys. We're news guys. We like to see this stuff. We love the storylines, especially in sports. I don't see it happening. Not in Arrowhead. Kansas City is coming in white hot. Clearly the Super Bowl favorite. I'll get Kansas. Are we covering? Are we doing just straight up? I'm Kansas City. Give me Kansas City.
Yeah, you can just pick the winner. So I don't have the lines in front of me. I mean, this would be shocking, right? Like the biggest shocker of the weekend.
Yeah, 12.
Even more than Philly beating Tampa.
Yeah, 12.5 favorite. Kansas City is 12.5.
Yeah, Kansas City's going to win this game.
Let's
go back to New England. New England and Buffalo. That's a Saturday. So Kansas City and Pittsburgh will be Sunday night at 7:15. This game here, New England and Buffalo, it's the Saturday night game. So 7:15 on Saturday night. Bills 4-point faves over the Pats.
At Buffalo, listen, you got yourself a rookie quarterback. You got Belichick, but he has a rookie quarterback. This is a great stepping stone point for Jones and the Patriots to get back to where they want to be. It's just not happening yet. Give me the Bills. And they'll cover. I think they'll win by like a touchdown, though.
Game time weather, 4 degrees in Buffalo.
Oh, it's nothing for them. Now, the real question is the wind.
I'd say if you fire those 50-mile-an-hour winds on top of that,
yeah.
Doesn't have that, but it says 4 degrees, according to AccuWeather. I'm with you. I think the Bills, Josh Allen, is better than Mac Jones. And while Belichick is better than
McDermott. We're not saying Mac Jones is a bad quarterback.
He might not be.
He's just right. He's a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, he got a bunch of hoopla early on for a winning streak that people didn't think the Pats would go on. It's like everybody forgot that New England had all those guys opt out because of COVID last year.
Oh, yeah.
And so, the storyline was, okay, well, that's the end. Brady's gone. He won a Super Bowl at Tampa. You forgot that they had like 7 guys that were major contributors that didn't play, and that was a big reason why they took a little bit of a step back last year. They got him back, and listen, Belichick, they're physical. They're a Belichick team. The difference is it's Mac Jones and not Tom Brady.
And right.
That's going to be the difference. And Josh Allen's just better than Mac Jones to me. And so I'm with you on the Bills. The intriguing one right here, though, Raiders, Bengals. Bengals are a 5.5-point favorite over the Raiders.
Well, I mentioned over and over again how I like Cincinnati to buck that trend of the playoff woes. It is in Cincinnati. I think the place is going to be hopping, going crazy. And I like Joe Burrow, man. It's like a neck and neck race between him and Dak as comeback players of the year. I like the Bengals. I like the Bengals to win this one. I do. I like them a lot.
I was all ready to pick the Raiders until I saw that Burrow stat yesterday. And then it was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Go against that.
Yeah. Am I really going to go against 27 touchdowns and no picks in winner go home games off of the right arm of Joe Burrow? I can't do it. And here's the thing. What's intriguing to me is this kind of the catapult to the Bengals being that team, that young up-and-coming team that has to stair-step up the way, win this one, and man, it could be a lot of fun in Cincinnati for the next few years before they have to start paying some of these young guys, right?
Yeah.
So I want Cincinnati to win this game because I want to see what they can do against in the next round, whether it be at Tennessee if seeds hold. Would they have to go to Kansas? Would it be Burrow and Mahomes? How much fun would that be?
That would be a shame.
You know, yeah. I like the possibilities of what we see next from Cincinnati if we can get there. So I think you're right. I think Burrow's going to be the difference.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great Thursday. Coach Maynard tomorrow at 9:30.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.